Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28, and verse number? Number one? Okay. And verse number one. Chapter entitled, Kapila's Instructions on the execution of devotional service. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yogasya, Lakshanam, Vakshye, Sabijasya, Ripatmaje, Mano, Yenaiva, Vidina, Prasanam, Yati, Sada, Patam, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshye, Sabijasya Nipatmane, Manoyenaiva Vidina, Prasanam Yati Satpatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshye, Sabijasya Nripatmaje, Manoyanaiva Vidina, Prasanam Yati Satpatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshye, Sabijasya Nripatmaje, Manoye Naiva Vidina, Prasanam Yati Satpatam.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshye, Sabijasya Nripatmaje, Manoyenaiva Vidina Prasannam Yati Satpatam.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshye
Yogesya Lakshmanam Vakshe,
Yogasya Lakshmanam Vakshe,
Sabiyasya Nipatmaje,
Sabiyasya Nipatmaje,
Mano Yeneva Maitvedena,
Mano Yeneva Vedena,
Prasanam Yati Yat Patam,
Prasanam Yati Satpatam.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshye, Sabijasya Nipatmaje,
Manoyenaiva Vidina,
Prasannam Yati Satpatam,
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Yogasya
lakshanam vakshaye
yogasya lakshanam vakshaye
sabijasya niripatmaja
sabijasya niripatmaje
mano yeneva vidina
mano yeneva vidina
prasanam yati satpatam
prasanam yati satpatam
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
The
personality of Godhead said,
Yogasya,
of the yoga system,
Lakshanam,
description,
Vakshye,
I shall explain,
Sabijasya,
authorized. Nripa Atmaje, O daughter of the king,
Mana,
the mind,
Yena,
by which, Eva, certainly,
Vidina,
by practice, Prasanam,
joyful,
Yati, attains, Satpatam, the path of the absolute truth. Translation. The personality of Godhead said, My dear mother, O daughter of the king, now I shall explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind. By practicing the system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of the absolute truth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The yoga process explained by Lord Kapiladev in this chapter is authorized and standard, and therefore these instructions should be followed very carefully. To begin, the Lord says that by yoga practice, one can make progress towards understanding the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous chapter, it has been clearly stated that the desired result of yoga is not to achieve some wonderful mystic power. One should not be at all attracted by such mystic power, but should attain progressive realization on the path of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, which states in the last verse of the sixth chapter that the greatest yogi is he who constantly thinks of Krishna within himself, or he who is Krishna conscious. It is stated here that by following the system of yoga, one can become joyful. Lord Kapila, the personality of Godhead, who is the highest authority on yoga, here explains the yoga system known as Ashtanga Yoga, which comprises eight different practices, namely Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. By all these stages of practice, one must realize Lord Vishnu, who is the target of all yoga. There are so-called yoga practices in which one concentrates the mind on voidness or on the impersonal. But this is not approved by the authorized yoga system as explained by Kapiladev. Even Patanjali explains that the target of all yoga is Vishnu. Ashtanga yoga is therefore part of Vaishnava practice because its ultimate goal is realization of Vishnu. The achievement of success in yoga is not acquisition of mystic power, which is condemned in the previous chapter, but rather freedom from all material designations and situation in one's constitutional position. That is the ultimate achievement in yoga practice. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. yogasya lakshanam vakshye sabijasya anripatmaje mano ye naiva vidina prasanam yati satpatam. The personality of Godhead said, my dear mother, O daughter of the king, now I shall explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind. By practicing this system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of the absolute truth. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachadesha Tarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkantrubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha, paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, devotees, yes, we're entering into the next chapter of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Kapila's instructions on the execution of devotional service. As we were going through the previous chapter particularly, there were a number of verses, a number of purports in which what harmony or even unity between Ashtanga Yoga, which is particularly the process, Ashtanga Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and it's particularly the process which Lord Kapila is famous for, or Sankhya Yoga. The two, of course, are very closely related. So normally he's known in relation to Ashtanga Yoga and or Sankhya Yoga. But actually we saw as we went step by step through the previous chapter that Lord Kapila was really explaining a lot about devotional service. In fact, to the point where it appeared that devotional service, even though his process is known for being Ashtanga Yoga and or Sankhya Yoga, but he was presenting so much on Bhakti Yoga devotional service that one might easily imagine that that's the main process he's presenting. And in one sense, it is. In one sense, it is. Because Ashtanga Yoga, as an example Prabhupada refers to here in the purport, even at the end, you could say other than at the end. If we say other than at the end, then when we look at the seven processes which lead up to samadhi, then they're not so much directly connected with devotional service. Each one has its own particular nature, actually. Yama, what not to do in order to focus the mind. Niyama, what you should do. Asana, different physical positions which help focus the mind. pranayama, breathing exercises, and so on. Of course, dhyana, meditation, this means on the personality of Godhead. But it's simply a matter of meditation. There's no real active service involved of offering anything to Krishna other than just being engaged in that process of meditation in and of itself. And then samadhi, of course, samadhi generally is understood, at least, to indicate a very deep process of dhyana or meditation. And not really, certainly not in very specific terms, that now, when the person reaches this stage, now they just engaged in doing all sorts of service, preaching and deity worship and cleaning the temple and organizing things for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. That's devotional service, as we generally know it, as it's taught in Bhagavad Gita, and as is taught by Srila Prabhupada. So in Ashtanga Yoga, it's really, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there, particularly in terms of the meditation. Yeah, particularly in terms of the meditation, which really begins from dharana, then develops in dhyana, and is perfected in samadhi. So these sorts of understanding, as people who are familiar with these things, who are not devotees, who are familiar with Ashtanga Yoga, and it is somewhat popular, then generally they would think, as Prabhupada mentions here, that it's one of these yoga practices in which one concentrates the mind on voidness or on the impersonal, something like that. I remember many years ago, it was really many years ago, we went to some sort of yoga festival, maybe it was the Mind, Body and Spirit Festival. So we went to that festival and we were doing some preaching, a book table sort of thing or something like that. And we looked around and we saw one group. If I remember correctly, it was actually the Brahma Kumaris. And they had a meditation tent. And in it, on a table at the end, at the back of the tent, on the table was a candle. And there were a few people in there, and they were meditating on the light of the candle. Hare Krishna, what can you say? Yeah. And they're meant to be doing some version of Ashtanga Yoga, some version. They may call it Raja Yoga, perhaps, but really speaking, what they're actually doing, it's more to do classically with Ashtanga Yoga. So, but Lord Kapila, he is now going to explain all this, Ashtanga Yoga, but very much in the context of devotional service. And the Ashtanga part of it, that whole thing, is just to help you focus the mind, just to really help you get focused. But actually, what are you going to focus on? You're going to focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in other words, it's all about coming ultimately to devotional service. So this is what was explained in the previous chapter, repeatedly explained, that along with different certain disciplines, one had to engage in devotional service. And we'll see as this chapter develops and all the different activities which Lord Kapila instructs to do, that ultimately things keep coming back to devotional service. Even when there's mention of some sort of control of the breathing process and all these types of things. But what he says, let me just read this verse number 6, which, you know, we're going to come to, of course, in a few days. But just in terms of this point, let me just read the translation of verse 6. Fixing the vital air and the mind in one of the 6 circles of vital air circulation within the body, thus concentrating one's mind on the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called samadhi or samadhana of the mind. Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Lord Kapila explains things, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never very far away, even where there are some mechanical processes being described and like that. Yes, so, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what is his business or interest? His interest is to help the fallen conditioned souls come back to their natural position. Jivera Swarupaya Krishnera Nityadas. Being the eternal servants of Krishna and living as such, and in that way being fully engaged in devotional service. Otherwise, the other results which come through other processes of yoga even, devotees are not interested in. In the previous chapter, there was mention of of acquiring mystic power. Some sort of mention in the previous chapter. But as Srila Prabhupada says here, the achievement of success in yoga is not acquisition of mystic power, which is condemned in the previous chapter. Actually, we should know that in any form of yoga, any process of yoga, and there are a number, that in any process of yoga, the actual fact is that if there appears to be some goal other than Krishna consciousness, devotional service, then that idea that the particular presentation in that non-Krishna conscious way, Prabhupada says here, it is condemned. It is condemned. It's just like in Bhagavad Gita, as we all know very well, in the 18th chapter, verse 66, which is the most famous verse in the whole book generally, Sarva Dharman Parichaja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshaya Shami Mashuchaha. Just abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, Krishna says. I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. So it's there, Lord Krishna is referring to the different systems of yoga, meditation, worship, demigod worship, and whatever else, and it's something to do with the impersonal idea, all these things which have been presented throughout Bhagavad Gita as different processes of dharma, and certainly the great majority, if not all of them, discussed in the Vedic literatures, and they are actual processes of Dharma. In other words, they're more or less genuine yogic processes or religious processes, if they're done in the right ways. Meaning in terms of Krishna consciousness, ultimately. But in this verse 66, effectively what Lord Krishna is saying is just give up all those processes which he has already spoken about in Bhagavad Gita and which are recommended even in other Vedic literatures and even dealt with at length, explained at length how to do it and like that. Lord Krishna, so they are Vedic. It's one thing if there's some idea of just doing something completely stupid, like meditating on a candle or thinking that you're God. You know, I can say, you're lucky I'm not God. If I was God, it would be. You know, what happened in Washington a couple of days ago would be like, beautiful. Yes, it would be chaos beyond belief. So, yeah, when Lord Krishna says there, abandon, parityaja, abandon, then he's referring to those Vedic processes, particularly. Obviously, anything which is just some sort of stupid speculation, like thinking one of us is God, obviously that has to be rejected. But now he's actually referring to these processes which have been presented and recommended by different Vedic authorities in the Vedic literatures. But Lord Krishna is saying, even those processes, parityaja, abandon them. And what to speak of some sort of stupid thing that, cat and dog religion, meat-eating type of process, which is just hopeless, pretty much. What to speak of them? Even the Vedic processes, other than surrender to Krishna, have to be abandoned. Of course, this term abandon, parityaja, is a very strong term. It's not just a term like put aside. You know, you can leave that now. Abandon is more or less, it's very strong. Sort of like throw it away. Just get rid of it. Abandon ship, as they say, when there's some crisis on a boat and the boat is about to go down. Then everyone is told, abandon ship. And that means you just get out now. Somehow. Even, you know, leave your suitcase behind, just get out, abandon. So it's strong. And here, Prabhupada uses the term that the acquisition of success, he mentions particularly mystical power, or whatever their other possible so-called successes in different yogas, that they're condemned. They're condemned. They're not just put aside in a sort of gentlemanly way that we thank you very much, but we will go on to something, we'll go on to devotional service. They're condemned. Yes. So that is not the achievement of success in yoga, but really the achievement of success is through the process of devotional service, through situating oneself in one's constitutional position, one becomes free from all material designations and becomes more and more advanced, more and more absorbed and advanced in devotional service, which is one's constitutional position. And that's the ultimate achievement in yoga practice. And anything else, well, as we've just said, it's just not the right thing. It's really some sort of either direct or indirect cheating process. Yes, so Lord Kapila, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some say that he is the avatar, the yuga avatar for Satya Yuga, at least Bhakti Godhead said some years ago. I couldn't find any further elaboration. But anyway, whatever that may be. But Lord Kapila is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do we really expect that he's going to teach something other than devotional service? Recommend something other than devotional service? That yes, you do this, you develop mystical powers and it'll be very nice? No. No. So as we go through, we'll see how in really very wonderful ways he discusses the process of devotional service and the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's really amazing. It's really wonderful. And for example, the Lord is going to present very interesting and important instruction to us about devotional service in the different modes. That's important. What if a devotee, someone who's trying to be a devotee, if they happen to be influenced, really, somewhat strongly influenced by, for example, the mode of ignorance, there are certain particular characteristics which will manifest in his or her life. That this is all coming, it's in the 29th chapter actually. Devotional service, a devotee who's in the mode of ignorance, a devotee who's in the mode of passion, although it's a devotee, and devotee even in the mode of goodness. And we see even though the devotee in the mode of goodness, it's relatively quite nice, but it's not on the same level as the transcendental devotee. So ultimately, this is the mission of Lord Kapila, in one way or another, to bring us to devotional service, even if it's somewhat indirect. The use of indirect methods is there in Krishna consciousness. Famously, Hiranyakashipu in the 7th canto, when he's instructing the teachers, Prahlad's teachers, Sunda and Amarka, that be careful that devotees do not sneak in to your school and start teaching my son or any of the other children. So what he says, one thing he says is, beware of Vaishnavas in disguise. And disguise, of course, means indirect, coming around, not just straight in the face, surrender to Krishna or else. So indirect presentations are not unusual in Krishna consciousness. It's all, you know, a lot of these things are in terms of desha kala patra, time, place, and circumstance. I remember many years ago in Prabhupada's time, when we switched, at least us, we were in England and the United Kingdom, so-called, that we had been distributing books in devotee clothes for some time, every day, every single day, at least 6 days a week, sometimes seven, in devotee clothes, and it was all going on, books were being distributed. But then we adopted disguises, even wearing wigs. Oh my gosh. We gave up wigs after a while and just started using hats. But, yeah, we adopted disguises, and lo and behold, more books started going out. Really, more books started going out. And even talking about preaching Krishna consciousness, but indirectly, in the fourth canto, when Narada Muni preaches to Dhruva Maharaj, the main thing really that he teaches Dhruva is you chant the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You chant that. But he also instructed him in Ashtanga Yoga, the same Ashtanga Yoga. Yeah. And the way he presented it, Dhruva came out at the end of receiving the instruction. He came out thinking that Ashtanga Yoga, this is what I'm to do. But, you know, it includes somehow or other sort of that chanting of that mantra is included. So I'll chant the mantra also. But really what I'm doing is practicing Ashtanga Yoga. And Prabhupada explains there that this was the strategy of Narada Muni. Actually, the point was to get Dhruva to chant the holy name of the Lord. But Dhruva was in such a state, such a consciousness, that if Narada had just said, listen, just chant this mantra and that's it, then Dhruva would not have accepted. In fact, when Narada first started instructing Dhruva, first of all, Narada just told Dhruva, listen, you're a little boy, you should go back to the palace. You know, don't live here. What are you going to eat in the forest? Just leaves and fruits and roots, and you don't know what you can eat and what you can't eat, because some of these things are poisonous. Why don't you just go back to the palace, and there you can have nice deep-fried sabji with puri. And he told him that God... Dhruva said, I'm here because I want to find God. And Narada told him, God is in the palace also. So, you know, why don't you just go back there? And Dhruva told him in a very forthright way, listen, if you're not going to help me, please leave me alone. Yeah, please go away. And then Narada understood, yeah, we've got to adopt a different strategy. So that's what he did. Very cleverly, the chanting of the holy names, but in such a context that it seems like it's Ashtanga Yoga, and Dhruva has the idea that this Ashtanga Yoga will help me become powerful and get a kingdom, which is what he was thinking he needed. Yes, so, like this, some indirect preaching. You know, sometimes some devotees criticize attempts to preach indirectly, and sometimes they're right, too, because sometimes the devotee, they call it bridge preaching, to create a bridge between where the people are now in material life, to create a bridge between that position and Krishna consciousness, which is somewhat quite different from what they're doing now. Bridge preaching. We have to take people across the bridge. But sometimes the devotee goes back to the other side of the bridge and gets caught there. So yeah, that's worthy of criticism. But otherwise, Prabhupada really wanted his devotees to strategize and use their intelligence how to present Krishna consciousness so it would actually reach the people and change the hearts of the people. And in that way, Krishna consciousness movement would develop. So Lord Kapila is, in one way or another, doing, in principle, the same thing here. And let us see how it all unfolds. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.